Do you love your mom? If you love your mom, why do you love your mom? It's interesting to see some smirks. And if, of course, you don't love your mom, why don't you love your mom? You know, there's just something inside of us that says, I should love mom. It's kind of like the same with God, right? There's something inside of us that says, I should love God. But sometimes it's hard for people to love their moms because their moms have disappointed them in some way. And sometimes it's hard to love God because God has disappointed us in some way. And yet, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But it's pretty hard to love a God who disappoints us. And I'll be honest, as I look at the Mother's Day celebration, I am rejoicing with those moms who find this a day filled with joy, but I also know that there are lots of women for whom Mother's Day is a very tough day because God has disappointed them, because God in his wisdom chose not to make them moms, or because husbands, dads, just take their mom role for granted, and there's this disappointment. God, why? Is this all that there is? And for many of us, Mother's Day is kind of a day of disappointment because somebody's not here. Maybe mom's not here, or maybe a child isn't here. You know, and it just seems like God's disappointed us. So how do you love a God who disappoints you? Well, when Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, he was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so in preparation for this message, I went back and I read the first five chapters of Deuteronomy leading up to this verse. And as I read it, there was this reoccurring phrase that the Lord our God, or the Lord your God, occurs 50 times in just five letters, or five chapters. Must be that the Holy Spirit, through Moses, is saying, you know, this name for God is really important. And it's only after repeating that name in five chapters 50 times that then God, through Moses, says, love the Lord your God. How do you love a God that at times will disappoint you? The key is found in that name, the Lord your God. First of all, Lord, that's Lord in all capital letters. That's God's personal Savior name. It's God's personal name because it's not a generic term. God is a generic term. You know, there were things that were called gods back in Jesus' day, things that were called gods back in Moses' day, Baal and Ashtoreth. There are things that are called God today, Allah. But there was only one, the Lord. It was his personal name. And it was his Savior name because the Lord in all capital letters, every time you see it throughout the Old Testament, remember that that word is based on the phrase where God says about himself, I am that I am. God is not who you make him to be. God is not who I make him to be. God is absolutely independent. I am that I am. And he is absolutely constant and unchanging. I am that I am. And now that's true of all of God's characteristics, but it is especially comforting to remember that it's true of his love. And if his love is unchanging and independent, then it is an unconditional love. And as you read through Deuteronomy chapters 1 through 5, you see that this is a God of unconditional love. He didn't love the Israelites because they were so great. The Israelites, they worshiped a golden calf. The Israelites, they grumbled and complained against God. The Israelites, when God told them to go up and take the promised land, they were filled with fear and thought, God can't do it, and they turned the other way. And yet, he still loved them. Why did God say to the Israelites, love the Lord? Because he is a God of unconditional love. And what was true for the Israelites is true for you and me too. God so loved the world, right? How do I know that? Because he gave his son. Because his son was willing to die for my sins and yours. When you and I question, God, do you love me? Because sometimes you disappoint me. Go back and remember, he is the God of unconditional love. You see it in his son. But not only is he a God of unconditional love, he is also a God of limitless power. God is a word that emphasizes power. And the Israelites, think of how they had seen this God of limitless power. They had seen how the most powerful nation in the world of that day was brought to its knees by 10 plagues just because God said so. They saw how the most powerful army in the nation, in the world, was rushing towards them, and there was no way out. And God says, just put your staff over that water, Moses, and all of a sudden the Red Sea divides by the limitless power of God. And they walk on through, and then they turn around, and this huge, terrifying army is swept away by the returning waters of the Red Sea. They had seen that he is a God of limitless power. And that's the God you and I worship too. It's the Easter season. What are we celebrating? That our God does the impossible, that he raises the dead. He raised Jesus from the dead, and he is going to raise us from the dead too. Why love God? Because he is the Lord, the God of unconditional love. He is the God of limitless power. But power in and of itself can be frightening. He also is the God who binds himself to us by promise. He is your God. He made that promise to the Israelites. He made promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they would become a great nation and that they would take the land flowing with milk and honey. They were about to enter into the promised land when Moses spoke these words. He is the Lord, the God of unconditional love. He is God who has got unlimited power, and he is your God. He has bound himself to you by promise. You don't have to be afraid. And you can just imagine that the natural reaction of a believing heart was love for this incredible God. In just a few moments, we're going to come up and we're going to kneel at this altar. And when we kneel, we're going to receive the sign and token that the new covenant applies to us. And in that new covenant, from Jeremiah 31, the center promise of that new covenant is, I will be their God and they will be my people. You see, this God of limitless power has bound himself to you by promise. I am your God. I will use my power in your behalf. That's why we love him. He's the Lord, you're our God. But what does love look like? Jesus said the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. What does love look like? How can you love something that you can't see? How can you love something that has everything that name the Lord your God gives us a clue? How do you love the Lord, the God of unconditional love? Isn't by admitting to him that that is exactly the kind of God that you need. You know, what's so marvelous about our relationship with the Lord is we don't have to be afraid to be honest with him. Very often in our relationships in this world, we tend to hold back because we don't want to really be honest with people because we might hurt them. If we love them and we're really honest with them, they'll hear things about us we don't want them to hear about us. We don't want them to be hurt. But the great thing about our relationship with God is if he is a God of unconditional love, then there's no reason why we ever have to hold anything back. That's why we start the service with a confession of sins. We're just saying, Lord, I show my love to you by just coming into your presence and admitting, I need a God like you, a God who loves me unconditionally because I sure can't earn it. How do you love a God of unlimited power? Isn't it by the way that David loved God in our first lesson? Wasn't it love for God that led David to stand up before this giant Goliath? Wasn't it love for God that led him to say, the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's? He trusted that this was a God of limitless power, and he didn't have to be afraid. How can you and I love God? By trusting that he has limitless power and that he will use that limitless power in our behalf as he knows best. You see, when he has bound himself to us by promise, what he has not promised is that we will always understand. You and I are still sinful human beings with limited reasoning ability. We are so much like little Kaylee. There's so much that she doesn't understand about her mom and dad right now. There's so much that you and I can't possibly understand about this God of unconditional love and limitless power, except to trust that he is my God, he is your God, he is our God, and we submit to his will, knowing that his will is best because he knows better, and he's using that power out of love for us. And so we pray in the Lord's Prayer, let your will be done on earth with me as it is in heaven. We love him by submitting. And on this Mother's Day weekend, how can you not think about, then how do we also then teach that love to the next generation? Certainly that's what Christian moms want to do. Every Christian mom wants to be the Lois and Eunice of that 2 Timothy passage. That a generation or two down the line, they'll be pointing back to you and saying, you taught me. You taught my father, my grandfather, my grandmother, my mother. You taught me how to truly love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind. But how do you do that? And it's not just moms. Every one of us is in a position where we are called to teach others. If you understand my words, you are somebody that has been called to teach. Let me just give you an example. In our school, we have faith families. After the chapel service, The students break up into faith families. And a sixth or seventh grader or an eighth grader will be the leader of that faith family. Don't you suppose that that first or second grader looks up to that great big eighth grader and goes, wow, he or she knows my name. It's so great to see chapel buddies just a few years older. I can tell you that those kindergartners are looking up to those fourth graders. If you are old enough to understand my words, then you are called to be a spiritual shepherd to the people around you. Maybe you're not a mom or a dad. Maybe you're a grandma or grandpa or an aunt or an uncle, or maybe you're just a classmate or a friend, but there are people who are looking to you. And how do we teach this idea of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Well, first of all, if we want others to know the Lord as the God of unconditional love, let's show it. Let's model it. The people around us are going to disappoint us. They are going to hurt us. And it's easy to hold grudges. But if the Lord is our God, and we love the fact that He is the unconditional lover, then let us follow His example and show unconditional love even to the people who hurt us, who sin against us, who disappoint us. How do we teach that ours is a God of limitless power? It's by telling the stories. Why do we want people to know that the Bible history stories, the lessons, the historical accounts, because there we see that God is this God of limitless power. And it's not just in the past. Talk about how you have seen God's power at work in your personal life. It's those stories that the people around us, our kids, our grandkids, will remember that we have a God of limitless power. And then build relationships. How do we teach others to love our God? It's first of all by saying, I need to focus on that love of God myself. Build that relationship with your God. If you and I are called to be spiritual leaders of people around us, then it is so very critical for us to say, there is nothing more important than my relationship with my God. And so there's nothing that's going to keep me from being here in worship every week. If I can't come on a Sunday, I'll come on a Saturday. If I can't come on a Saturday, I'll come on a Wednesday night. If I can't come any of those services, I'm going to watch it online because I want people to see that there's nothing more important to me than my relationship with my Savior. That we open up the book and read it ourselves. It made such an impression on me when I was a kid to see my dad open up this great big old King James Bible. It filled his lap and he read it from cover to cover. There's nothing more important than our relationship with God. How do we teach that to the next generation, whether they are our physical children or our spiritual children around us? It's by modeling it. And then right after that relationship is our relationship with them, to build into our relationship with them that they see that we love them unconditionally, and we spend time and love, and we pray for them. Now, at this point, I'll be honest with you, if I were sitting out there, I'd be going, okay, it's getting pretty heavy. The guilt's pretty heavy on my shoulders, because every one of us has to admit, we failed. In fact, it is not uncommon for us as Christians to see people that were our children, whether they be physical children or those spiritual children around us, that there are people that we could have influenced, and they've drifted away, they've given up their faith in God, and there's a part of us that's going, I can understand why, because I failed. I failed to teach them, I failed to model for them what it truly means to love God with all your heart and soul and mind. And so how do you get rid of that failure? How do you deal with that failure to love? It's by going back and remembering His unconditional love is for you. That as you come up to receive Jesus' body and blood in just a few minutes, remember the foundation passage of that new covenant is that He will forgive your wickedness and remember your sins no more. That burden of guilt, come up and just have the Savior reach over your shoulder and just grab that burden of guilt and say, I'll carry that for you. You don't have to carry it anymore. It's forgiven. And to claim that limitless power by praying for our children. This past week, one of our dear brothers in Christ was just sharing with me how he had been praying for his wife for 40 years or more, and he finally was blessed to be able to commune with her. And now he keeps on praying for one of his kids, the same prayer that he's prayed for 25 years. If you and I believe in a God of limitless power, then let's keep on praying. And then let's claim the promises. That in baptism, the Holy Spirit is active. That it's a washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. That in God's word, He promises, my word will not return to me empty. And that we hold God to His promises in our prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Fulfill your promise. Let your Holy Spirit dwell in the heart of my child, my grandchild, my nephew, my niece, my spiritual child, my co-worker. Fulfill your promise in this child whom I love. That's what loving the Lord your God is all about, isn't it? And so this is my homework for you right on the bottom of the worship outline. To claim God's unconditional love, I would encourage you to read Psalm 51. If you are burdened because you recognize that you have failed to show love in the way that you know God wants you to show it, and you wonder, maybe I have had a bad influence on the people around me because of that, just think about King David. Think of the burden of guilt that he must have carried. Read Psalm 51 and know that God has wiped your sins away. And the Spirit is living in you just as He created a new heart in David. See His limitless power. Read over again the way David faced his giant in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And just think, what are the giants that I'm afraid of? Moms, I think it's natural for you to worry about your kids. Read over that and just limitless power who can protect your children. And then trust His promise that His word that you have planted will not return to our God empty. That's what loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind is all about, isn't it? Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join together and confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.